Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Jimmy Trainey here with you, as always, along with my two partners, Gary Gramling, senior editor at MMQB. Gary, not in studio today. We're doing a whole Google Hangouts thing. We're looking at him on a computer screen. It's very bizarre. Got to say, though, you look good. You look good on the computer screen.
In my dark, sad basement.
Yeah. Obviously, talking about how good you look on the computer screen doesn't play well on audio, so we'll keep rolling along. We also have, as always, Mitch Goldich here, who is a producer and editor on fantasy and NFL content for SI.com. Mitch, how are you?
Jimmy, good to be in the room. A little more room at the table to spread out without Gary and his many things here.
Todd is hell in the office today, so we're glad you're not here. We need more air flowing in this podcast studio, Gary. So
I could see that. Unseasonably warm.
I know, Mitch.
On Halloween.
All right, Mitch already did some pre-show bragging because he was 4-1 in his best bets last week. I was 4-1 as well, so a good showing for the show. How about you, Gary? What was your best?
I was 2-1. So,
okay, so we all have
math
records.
Would say that's a what, 10-3?
Not bad.
Nice job, guys.
We hope.
I just want to point out I'm 8-4 on the season, but I'm 7-3 on non-Jets games. Nope, I did that wrong. When am I? I missed all my Jets bets. Take away all my Jets bets, and I have a really good record.
Can we just take away the Jets? So 4-1 for Mitch, 4-1 for Jimmy, 2-1 for Gary. So we came through for the listeners last week. We will try to come through again.
Well, I think
in week
last week you told them to bet against us. So if
well, there was
they
one game we
advice,
all liked.
We did not.
I think the game we all liked was the under in the Colts Broncos. I think that was the one we all agreed on, and we got that right. So that was a miracle.
Yeah.
But let's try to keep it rolling in week 9. We'll run through the schedule as we always do, and then we'll provide you with our best bets at the end of the show, and we'll kick things off. We have a 9:30 London game Sunday. The Texans, without J.J. Watt now, out for the year, torn pec, play the Jaguars in London. The Texans are a 1.5-point favorite, total 46.5 in London. Gary, what do you got on this one?
As always, I hate the early starts. I hate the morning games. I think they're a total. I think they're garbage. I think it's a total fluke fest is what this turns into. But I'll lean Jacksonville here. I like the fact that they go out there all the time. If you caught Doug Marrone's quote, I don't have it in front of me, but he did reference diarrhea and vomiting when he thinks about having to go out to London.
I have the quote in front of me if you'd like me to read it because this was.
I made Connor do it on the deep dive show yesterday, and I would love to hear
all
it
right,
dramatically
here is...
again.
Here's Galaxy Brain Doug Marrone on this trip, the annual trip to London. Quote, I'm glad I've done it before. I've got this secret I don't tell anyone, but I think it's awful for people who haven't done it before. You feel bad. You want to throw up. You have diarrhea. There's a lot of things bad that go on. Where does he think that they're playing this game?
I don't know. Space or something? I don't know. It's like intergalactic travel makes you... makes his stomach upset or something. I'll lean Jaguars here, getting the points because of the fact that they go out there all the time. I think there is an adjustment. I think there is, between the diarrhea and the vomiting, something to be said about Doug Marrone's point. And the other reason is, I mean, look, the Watt injury is huge. The Texans have not figured out what they're doing on the back end of that defense, which is problematic no matter what your pass rush is, but now your best pass rusher is out. Not to mention the Deshaun Watson, who knows if he'll be able to see this week. So I'll lean Jaguars here.
Mitch?
I'm going to go the other way and lean Houston. The quote is so weird. So then I was looking at past Jaguars results in London to see, you know, it'd be different if they were like undefeated all time over there. Last year they got beat by the Eagles, and then they lost a few times before that. The Jags are 3-3 over there since 2013. Obviously not all of that with Doug Marrone, but to have split the last 6 games, you know, I don't think there's a significant advantage for them being there. Houston, I think, is the better team, and this is one where I'm going to say this a few times where there are favorites with small spreads, and I just don't want to overthink it. But I know they lost J.J. Watt. I like Jacksonville, and I might pick them if this spread was like 3.5 or 4 points. But I trust Houston to go out there and go get a win, so I'm going to take them -1.5.
Yeah, I like the Texans as well here. I'm not a believer in the Jaguars. They did nothing last week in beating the Jets to make me believers. Deshaun Watson is playing completely out of his mind right now. What he did against the Raiders in that fourth quarter last week was insane. I know the Jaguar defense is tough. I don't think anyone is stopping Deshaun Watson these days. So I like Houston as well there. Moving on, the Bills are at home. After laying an egg at home last week against the Eagles, they welcome in another NFC East opponent. The pathetic Redskins come to town. The Bills are 10-point favorites over Washington. Very low total here of 37. Mitch, what's going to happen in this one?
So I'm going to repeat something that I said a couple weeks ago on this podcast when the Bills played against the Dolphins, which is that I like them and they're good. And obviously they've won some games this year, but they just aren't the kind of team that is, you know, has that offensive firepower to get up big and early and win big. And so it's just hard for me to imagine picking them to win by double digits. They've only won two games by double digits this season. You know, yeah, they lost to Philly last week, but Washington, hey, they've been competitive the last 3 weeks. Like, if you look at their schedule and their results, they had a couple of games where they got blown out earlier in the season, but they've been closer lately. And so against a team like the Bills, I'm not going to pick the Redskins to win this game outright, but it's hard for me to pick Buffalo to cover a 10-point spread. So I'm going to go with Washington here plus 10.
Gary, what do you got in the Buffalo Redskins game?
I think this one's such a toss-up. I do agree with everything that Mitch has said in regards to the Bills. However, I'm just kind of focusing on this on this Washington team here and what they've done the last 3 weeks. They were thoroughly outclassed by the 49ers and by the Vikings and somehow only lost those games by 9 and 10 points, which, I mean, we have the low total, so, you know, can you really go Bills minus 10 if the total is going to be in the 30s here? I guess I'm just kind of waiting for the Redskins to get blown out in the way that a game sort of suggests they should be blown out, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I mean, really, the way they got outplayed by the 49ers and the Vikings the last 2 weeks, they should have lost those games by 17, 20 points, and they just sort of hung around because of, you know, unusual game flow or things like that. So, slight lean to Buffalo here.
Yeah, this is a stay away from me. If I had a pick it, though, I would go Washington, which is why it's a stay away from me. Buffalo shouldn't be giving 10 points to anybody in the NFL, and maybe not even in college. And
I'll stop that.
I mean, they're all Josh Allen should not be in the NFL.
That's if you want to play the hypothetical NFL versus college team, pick a different example than the.
I'm just saying the Bills. The Bills can't beat anybody by 10 points. I don't know. Is there like a, you know, is there a high school team around here near the building? They wouldn't. They shouldn't be favored by 10 over them. They can't. Josh Allen is a terrible quarterback who shouldn't be in the NFL. So it's that simple. Now we move
on. North Tonawanda out there. Get a little matchup with the Bills.
The Carolina Panthers coming off just a ass kicking of epic proportions in San Francisco last week. We'll try to right the ship. They welcome the Titans in. Carolina minus 4, total 41.5. I love teams coming off a loss like that. Let's see what my compadres think. Gary, what do you got?
I know. I was kind of hoping this one might suck down to like under a field goal here. I'll take the Titans getting the 4 points on the road here. I don't think Carolina has a significant home field advantage there. I'm not a Kyle Allen guy. I think Kyle Allen's a good game manager. I think they can win games when they sort of get a bunch of turnovers and Christian McCaffrey goes off and things like that. But I think this is one of those games that probably comes down to a late field goal. And I really think it's two really evenly matched teams. And I'd probably, if this was minus 2.5, I'd certainly go Carolina. But looking at the minus 4, I'll go Tennessee here.
Mitch?
I think I agree with everything that Gary just said. And similarly, this is one where I picked Carolina to win the game straight up in the MMQB weekly picks. But getting 4 points, you're right. This is a field goal game one way or the other. And so I will take I'll take Tennessee plus 4. I do think that Carolina can bounce back. Sometimes a game gets out of hand so quickly, and then it's like the rest of, you know, just throw that game out. And, you know, sometimes the final score is it ends up being meaningless when it's like garbage time and once a team kind of packs it in for the day. You're right about Kyle Allen. I think this game or their last game against San Francisco, it seems like that pretty much ended the talk of Kyle Allen being the starting QB for the rest of the season. I'm sure there are still going to be questions about whether or not Cam Newton's going to be back in Carolina next season, given his contract situation. But I think everyone now realizes, okay, yeah, when Cam's healthy, we want him to start for the rest of the year. Tennessee, they've been their offense has improved since Tannehill took over for Mariota, weather related or not. I guess, you know, you have to say it probably is. So, you know, like Gary said, close game, I think. I think Tennessee is a good enough team to hang around, and so I'll take them with the points.
If I recall correctly, the you two gentlemen were heavily on Carolina last week at San Fran. I said the Niners would cover. And now I will disagree with you guys again and go Carolina in this one. I love the bounce back factor. I love betting against Ryan Tannehill on the road. I think the Panthers are just a better team than the Titans. You're laying four at home. Embarrassing loss. I think they get a nice, easy win here, 10 points or more, and take care of the Titans. Next game. You know, we're taping this on Thursday afternoon. If you're listening to this close to Sunday, check in on the quarterback status with the Chiefs. It matters a little bit with Patrick Mahomes and Matt Moore. Might swing things for you. But as we're taping this, the Chiefs are giving 2 points at home to the Vikings, who come in total 48.5. So you guys might want to handicap it both ways, but we'll try to give you what we can. With the quarterback situation up in the air. Mitch, take us through Chiefs and Vikings, with the line being KC -2 right now until 48.5.
Well, first, Jimmy, I have to ask you. Yeah. You're starting a franchise that has to win one game. Are you taking Matt Moore or Josh Allen?
I would take Matt Moore. To win one game, I would take Matt Moore. Matt Moore played well last week against the Packers. It's just they couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers.
He did. So, they had a couple drives. Yeah.
I think it's Matt Moore all the way on that.
Some of the play calling that they had.
Matt Moore's on the Bills. The Bills probably might squeak out, you know, 8 or 9 wins and go to the playoffs.
They might do that anyway with Josh Allen.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Anyway, I will take the Vikings here, mostly because I'm expecting that Mahomes is not going to play, and I would think that line is going to move once Mahomes is officially ruled out, so who knows how much of this is going to be outdated by the time people are hearing it. But I think the Vikings are underrated. The narrative just took over on Kirk Cousins earlier in the season, and then they've straightened things out in their passing game. But I've liked their defense all year. Their running game obviously is great. Dalvin Cook, very good. And Kirk Cousins has seemed to figure things out in the passing game. Like, their offense is clicking. So for me, as much as I like the Chiefs, and I've been on them for, you know, a year and a half now, and I did like some of the things that I saw from them, even though they got beat by a better team in Green Bay. You know, I just think if the Chiefs are not going to have Patrick Mahomes, the Vikings are a good enough team. You've got to pick them to cover by a field goal. And so, you know, we'll see this line. I expect to move. But Minnesota, they played last Thursday, so they had a little bit of extra time. I don't know the status of Adam Thielen, if he's going to be back. But the Chiefs, we know last week they were really banged up on defense, missing a ton of people. And so I'll go with the Vikings here.
Gary?
Yeah, I'd again, guesswork, obviously. I think Mahomes is there. It's probably like Chiefs -3 at this point. I like the Vikings. I always get nervous whenever I like the Vikings, because I feel like they I always think back to that NFC title game where the Eagles just completely stomped them in a game where you looked at it and there was no reason to like the Eagles in that game, and they just destroyed the Vikings. So
I think about that game often as well. Yes.
Yeah. It's when it comes to that Chiefs team, I mean, look, they can't stop the run. I don't think they're good on the outside as far as the cornerbacks go, even though that wasn't their biggest problem last week against the Packers. But I think this is one where Kirk Cousins can feast again here, and Vikings probably are pretty comfortable in this one.
I don't have a lean on the side. I'll say this. I don't care if it's Moore or Mahomes a quarterback. I love the over here. The Chief defense thinks they're not. And that Viking offense is going to present a lot of problems for the Chief defense with Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs. And if Thielen plays, forget about it. I see both teams, no matter who the quarterback is for the Chiefs, putting up points. Love the over 48.5 in that one. Don't really. It's hard for me to get in on a side with the quarterback situation up there for the Chiefs. And I'm very leery picking the Chiefs against teams that have good offensive weapons, because they just, those are the teams that just do a lot of damage against Kansas City. Moving on, gross game at 1:00. The Jets, 3-point road favorites in Miami against the Dolphins, who are coming off that loss in Pittsburgh on Monday night. The total is 42. Gary, I don't know how much time you want to spend on this one, but Go for it.
I kind of want to best bet the Jets again, and I won't because I'm masochist. Legally prohibited from doing so for a third straight week, which means they probably will cover this week.
You literally started your appearance by trying to break down what your record is with and without the Jets, and then you say you want to best bet the Jets. I mean,
I know. To be clear, after I've done the math, it turns out 4 minus 2 is 2, so I'm 8-2 on non-Jets best bets this year and 0-2 on Jets best bets. I don't know how I screwed that up. But, I mean, look, I think the Dolphins are historically bad. I think the Jets are incredibly disorganized on the offensive line for whatever reason. They just can't get their protection set. And they stink up there as well. But I do think the Jets have at least an NFL-caliber team, unlike the Dolphins. So I think they'll go down there and win somewhat comfortably.
Mitch?
Yeah, so the Jets, they have the look of a pissed off team after the week that they just had with the trade deadline and the Jamal Adams rumors and the Le'Veon Bell rumors, and now they're basically staying put. But yeah, after that week, I'm with you. I trust them to take care of business. I mean, I think they're a better team than their record indicates. Last week, Gary, you ran through their whole schedule of all their easy games coming up, and it's true. I mean, they've had horrible injury luck. Obviously, Darnold getting mono is not what you want, and that happened to coincide with a bunch of tough games. I still think the Jets are going to win some of these games. The Dolphins have been a little frisky. I was surprised when they got up early against Pittsburgh this week. They actually held my interest to watch that game for a little bit. But, I mean, only a 3-point spread for a Dolphins team that, like you said, is, you know, historically bad. This is gross, but I will just I'll hold my nose and take the Jets here.
Can't believe neither one of you have mentioned that this is the Adam Gase revenge ball. I mean, that's how important
that's
it is. Right. Yeah, I mean, come on. What do we do? I mean, please. Let's move on from that game.
Did we get a pick from here,
Jimmy? Yeah, I mean, it's gross. If you bet it, good luck. I mean, don't watch it. Don't bet it. It's disgusting. All right, we go to Philly. We'll let Mitch take the reins here. He probably has a lot of bragging to do. The Eagles coming off that win in Buffalo that was a fun game to watch because of the weather, and the Eagles put up a good offensive showing. Now they return home where they are 5-point favorites to the Bears. The total is 42.5, and I'll just say this. I know I said some harsh things earlier about Josh Allen. Trubisky's worse, just for the record. Mitch, take it away.
So Trubisky, Matt Moore, we have to get your
Trubisky
QB power
last
rankings.
Week. If you take out like the Ryan Lindley games, Trubisky played the worst quarterback game I've ever seen in my life last week.
That's really strong. Was he worse this week than he was in London when he had all those turnovers
against the Raiders? Yeah. Oh, he was way worse because I bet that game and I watched every play. He was he was incompetent. Sunday against the Chargers, he could not. They were in the red zone. They were in the inside the five.
I mean,
they
his own coach has no confidence in
him.
Well,
the coach is really bad too. Yeah. I mean,
they ran the ball 3rd and goal from the 9,
yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever seen in an NFL game in like the first half of a competitive game.
Well, every time he threw it, it looked like it was going to be picked, no matter how deep, how short, where it went, and you know. Joey Bosa was in his head. It was really ugly, but...
Yeah, so Jimmy, you teed me up, and you gave me the chance to brag. I'm not going to brag because I let you guys bully me into picking again. It was not a best bet, but I let you make me pick the Bills last week, so I sort of had a reverse jinx going on for my team. The problem is, you know, I can't pick the Eagles to go 16-0 every season, so I have to just strategically pick my spots when I'm going to pick them to lose so that at the end of the season, it doesn't look like I was a homer all year. But yeah, so I was also going to talk about Trubisky in the passing game. We've said all year on this podcast, the Eagles' biggest weakness is in the secondary, and I don't believe that the Bears are equipped to take advantage of that weakness. So, you know, aside from that, the Eagles look to have gotten some things right against Buffalo. I think they're a better team, and if your weakness is not necessarily a concern against the Bears' passing game, then I think it's easy to pick them. They're finally coming home after playing 3 straight games on the road. So yeah, give me Eagles -5.
Gary.
Yeah, it's I'm with Mitch on this. I do think the Eagles have gotten right. I think getting those two cornerbacks back in the lineup, even though they're not superstars, that just sort of solidified things defensively. But I do want to mention the Bears on the road. They have been a really weird road team. They're 6-5 against the spread on the road the last 2 years, but you just kind of look at it. I mean, going back to last year, their wins were at Arizona. That game, I don't know if you remember, Sam Bradford just sort of forgot he was supposed to throw the ball to the guys in his jersey late in the fourth quarter, and the Cardinals blew a lead. They played Peterman in Buffalo. They got the Lions when the Lions offensive line just took the week off on Thanksgiving last year. Giants last year, San Francisco when it was, I believe C.J. Beathard, might have been Nick Mullins, but one of the backups last year, and then Denver, Washington this year were both wins, though I don't know how impressive it was, and obviously they got upset in London. So I think they're a bad road team, even though the numbers don't quite bear that out if you just look at the record, and for that reason, I also like the Eagles.
And that Denver game, that's the one that came down to a crazy call, and they there was like a penalty on a field goal, and then they scored. The Bears kicked a field goal to win it at the end. Remember that game for the Emmanuel Sanders octopus, obviously, which was very exciting. We remember that.
Was talking about.
Yeah,
that's
a memorable game for me.
I can't give this out as something I would bet, but I mean, listen, there's no way I'm putting my money on the Bears the rest of the season after what I saw last week. Mitch Trubisky is
Mitchell,
whatever it is. He is. You got to be nuts to put your money on him at this point, and the coach too. I mean, a guy pointed out. I mean, Matt Nagy looks completely out of his league right now. So to stay away from me, I lean Eagles. Last 1 o'clock game of the day, the Colts go into Pittsburgh, and the game is a pick'em. Total is 43. Interesting game here with Mason Rudolph, obviously a quarterback for the Steelers, and the Colts coming off a crazy late win at home last week.
This line is downright disrespectful to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
If I'm missing something, one of you guys has to let me know. This is one, they're better than the Steelers. I mean, neutral field, they'd obviously be giving points, which is what the pick 'em spread suggests. I think they'd be given like a touchdown on a neutral field. Mason Rudolph was not good last week. I know they ended up winning, and you know, if not for that. I don't know what you call it. Not a Hail Mary, but that 45-yard touchdown at the end of the first half kind of turned that game against what, again, is a historically bad Dolphins team. I don't get it here. Short week for the Steelers. They're banged up in the run game. Like I said, Mason Rudolph's not very good. This one feels like it should be the Colts giving at least a field goal in Pittsburgh this week.
Okay, now, Mitch.
Yeah, I've got my notes in front of me, and I wrote down the first four words, I don't get it, and you just said the same exact thing. I don't know what I'm missing here either. The Colts, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Texans. They basically had their letdown game against Denver, and they still survived it and won, which oftentimes I think is the mark of a good team, to survive a game when you don't play your best. Yeah, everything you said about the Steelers falling behind the Dolphins, I don't get this. I've been slow to the Colts bandwagon. I've been saying all year that the Texans are going to win the South, and I still think that's the case, but this line is just insane. This is an easy best bet of the week for me. Looking at this, I'll take Indy.
I'm going to stay away here. I don't like the game at all. The Colts, they should be a little better than they've been playing. You know, struggle at home with the loss to the Raiders, struggle at home with the Broncos. Obviously, they have the thumping against the Chiefs on Sunday night, so everyone sees that. But I don't know. It seems like a weird spot here for the Colts. I'm a little nervous, but so it's a stay away for me. Don't really have a lean on anything here. Let's go to the 4 o'clock because I do have one I like here a lot right off the bat, and it's the Raiders at home welcoming in the Lions. The Raiders are giving 2. The total is 50.5. I'll start with this one because this is a game I love this week. This is the Raiders' first home game since week 2, since September 15th. They've been on the road in London and had a bye week, and they're laying less than a field goal against a team that's banged up and has some issues. I can't believe I'm saying this because they love to, we said this last week. They played well in Green Bay 2 weeks ago. We're going in for a late touchdown in the first half to take the lead, and David Carr threw the ball to the end zone, or Derek Carr, whatever his name is. And then last week could have beaten the Texans, but just shot themselves in the foot in the fourth quarter, which is typical Raiders, typical Gruden. But I think here you're laying only two. It's less than three. First home game since week two. I see a huge effort here from the Raiders, and you'll be hearing about the Raiders later in this show, if you know what I mean. All right, Mitch, now you can take it.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago we were talking about how it was the last ever NFL game with the baseball infield dirt on the field, and think about how long it's been since we saw the Oakland A's play a game. That was just forever ago, five road games. I'm going to pick Oakland for a bunch of the same reasons that you did. And again, yeah, they played the Texans close. And I have a hard time trusting Detroit. They just seem to find a way to lose games. And they're 3-3-1, and it's incredible. They could have a better record. They could have a worse record. It's like every year the Lions just play every game close, and weird things seem to happen. But last week it seems like they never really got the running game going with Kerryon Johnson out. And so yeah, the Raiders coming home. I'm just going to take them at only -2.
Gary.
Actually, I disagree with my respected colleagues here.
Yes, because you're a Lions homer.
Yeah, I got to take the Lions. That is in my contract. But I used to shy away from them on the road. They're 8-3 against the spread on the road under Matt Patricia, and I really do believe that they're a good team, and we'd be viewing them differently had it not been for the Monday night officiating disaster, or if they hold on against Mahomes, or they don't let that one slip away in Arizona with the timeout. I like the Lions here. I like the Lions in what's essentially a pick 'em game to win this one by a touchdown.
Yeah, you're wrong. All right. Let's keep going here. The Seahawks are at home, and they're giving 6 points to the incoming Tampa Bay Bucks. Total 51.5. I believe that's the highest total on the board for week 9. It is. And let's go right back to Gary and get his thoughts on the Seahawks -6 against the Bucks.
I'll just throw this out there because I like the Bucks here. I'm trying to decide if I really like the Bucks. I don't know if you can really like the Bucks because you don't know if seven turnover Jameis is going to show up in any given week, really. But I will point out Bruce Arians, when he coached the Cardinals, went to Seattle 5 times. He was an underdog each time. They won 4 of those games straight up. He was 4-1 straight up at Seattle. Obviously, different team, et cetera. But I think there's something to be said for that, and I do think the Bucks hang around against a Seahawks team that, yes, they did blow out the Falcons last week, even though that one got weirdly close at the end because the Seahawks took the second half off. But they've been in dogfights with some bad teams. Obviously, they got beat by the Ravens. They barely squeaked by the Bengals. I like the Bucks here.
Mitch?
I don't think, Gary, I love your stats. I don't think Bruce Arians' numbers in Seattle as coach of the Cardinals matters at all here. It's not Doug Marrone playing on the moon and fighting diarrhea, so let's not worry about it too much. I don't think there's any way, I'm always cautious, Tedgel. No, I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't think there's any way that Tampa wins this game outright. I think the only question is if they cover, and the Seahawks do, they worry me a little bit in their ability to cover. Like you said, we saw last week they were up big on the Falcons and then let them back into it. And I think there's always some risk of that happening again. They've won a ton of close games this year. They beat the Bengals by 1, the Steelers by 2, the Rams by 1, the Browns by 4. So I think this is a really good line at 6. And if I have to make a pick, I'd probably take Seattle. But really, I think this is just a stay away game for me because I'm too scared of the backdoor cover. So I'm just going to stay away from this one.
Yeah, I'm with you on pretty much everything you said, Mitch. It's a stay away from me. The Bucks seem to play weird games. And the line here, 6, is a little steep. I feel like Seattle has not been home for a little while. I don't know. I know they were on the road last week in Atlanta. Week before, I'm trying to remember. I'd have to look it up. But, you know, Seattle at home is always something that intrigues you. But I don't know. I got a weird feeling about this one. I would lean on that over 51. I could see some points here at the Bruce Arians offense. But stay away from me. Next game is interesting. You have the Browns coming off that loss to the Patriots going into Denver. They're 3-point road favorites, the Browns, despite really not playing well for most of the season. They give 3 points in Denver. No Joe Flacco, obviously. The total is 39.5. Mitch, do the Browns turn things around here?
Yeah, well, it really, I mean, the whole game is just a question of what you think of the Browns. Like, do you really believe that they are in free fall, like their record would indicate, or do you think that they are the Browns team we saw in the second half of last year? We knew going into the season that their schedule was really tough. And the last 3 weeks that they've lost, it was at San Francisco, against Seattle, and at New England, which is a really tough slate. So they're 2-5, but the question is, you know, are they really imploding, or are they waiting for their schedule to get a little easier? And are they still going to be, you know, an 8-8, 9-7 possibly team when all's said and done at the end of the season? We've got Baker Mayfield storming out of a press conference, which is usually, I feel like, a bad sign, but sometimes a good sign. Sometimes you want to see fire from these guys. And he, I think, a lot of times has been at his best when he's been like fired up. So maybe that's a good thing to see that from him. Denver, so I guess, you know, the one of their biggest issues has been the offensive line. Denver, they still have some names on defense, but they only have 17 sacks in 8 games. Because didn't they had that stretch, was it the first 3 weeks? I don't remember the stat, but they went like a few weeks without any sacks. And now they're starting Brandon Allen. So I think you can probably tell where I'm going with this, but I'm going to go with Cleveland. I do think that they are better than their record shows, partly because of their schedule. I know they've underachieved completely compared to what everyone expected from them. So, you know, they are not as good as everyone thought they were before the season, but I do think that they are good enough to beat Denver. Again, a Denver team that they surprised me how much they hung with the Colts last week. I said last week when they traded Emmanuel Sanders, it was like them throwing up the white flag that they were done for the season. That probably is coming at some point for them, maybe in week 12 or 13 or something. But I will, I'll go ahead and pick Cleveland because I do think they're a better team and it's only 3 points.
Gary, what do you got here on the enigma known as the Browns?
Yeah, I'm reluctantly leaning Browns on this one. I just think the Brandon Allen factor. I guess the headliner in this one for me is I am backing off the Broncos under. That's been so good to me. I saw it open at 43 before Flacco was out, and I was all set to take it. And I still actually really like that 39.5 number going under. But you know, you just feel uneasy sometimes. Something doesn't feel quite right, so I'm gonna back off the Broncos under at least for 1 week here.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Browns, but I gotta say it's not with a ton of confidence because, first of all, I've always been a huge Baker Mayfield fan, and I like this little salty attitude, but he kind of lost me a little bit this week. That was a little Bush League and ridiculous, and that's not gonna be that wasn't a motivating thing to fire your team up. So a little down on Baker, Freddie Kitchens is a problem for the Browns. It just is. But the Brandon Allen, here's what's interesting. Flacco has not played well. And there are times where you think, okay, new quarterback, even Brandon Allen, maybe that gives the team a boost, a little energy. But Flacco put it on the coaches. He really ripped them to shreds after last week's loss against the Colts about just, I guess, being handcuffed on offense. And if that's the case, then Brandon Allen's not going to help. He's actually going to be a problem because if a veteran quarterback like Flacco doesn't like what's going on with the play calling, it's not probably the quarterback's fault. So I got to think the Browns save their season here. I mean, if they lose here, they're done, you would think. The season's on the line here. It makes me nervous that Freddie Kitchens is the one that's got to sort of save it for them. But just from a talent standpoint, you know, Odell Beckham has not played great. They got to, you know, Nick Chubb is so talented. He had those bad fumbles last week in New England. I think I got to see a bounce back here from the Browns. Last 4 o'clock game of the day, the Packers coming off the big win in Kansas City, still on the road all the way across halfway across the country for them, playing the Chargers. The Packers are 4-point favorites on the road, although it's really hard to say on the road because the Chargers don't really have a home field. Total 48.5. Gary.
Yeah, I'll go Packers here, and I'm not crazy about the Packers. I just think the Chargers are really no good. Oh, boy, you can't read too much into that win at Soldier Field last week because the Bears just sort of gave it to them ultimately. I don't think they can block. I don't think they're going to put up the kind of points that they used to put up with Philip Rivers at any point in the season. I just don't see it turning around for them. And then, obviously, we talk about it every home game. They just don't have a home field advantage. So I'll lean Packers here.
Mitch?
Yeah, so not only do the Chargers not have a home field advantage, which we've talked about, the Packers are one of those teams where it will not even be a neutral game. This will be a Packers home game. We saw this when the Steelers were there, but the Packers are just one of those teams that has so many fans, and they are going to fill that stadium with Packers fans. It's going to be one of those games where we hear Philip Rivers talking about how they had to go to the silent count at home because the visiting team's fans were so loud, and I think it's going to be a real issue. This is one of those games, I said earlier I'd have a few of these. Just don't overthink it. The Packers are one of the best teams in the NFC. They're a much better team than the Chargers. And again, I think 4 points, that spread bakes into the fact that the Chargers are at home, but it doesn't matter. And so, I just think if it's not really going to be a road game, I'm happy to take Green Bay -4. This is an easy one for me.
Love the Packers here, and Mitch basically summed it all up perfectly. And I'll even piggyback on what he said because of the Charger. This will be a Packers home game, and where we also saw that, if you remember last year, the Packers played the Rams in L.A. and that was all Packers fans. So you'll see the same exact thing here it's not San Diego, wherever they are, Carson City, I believe. And I have a rule that I mentioned last week where I'm not betting the Chargers the rest of the season. I will gladly bet against them, though. And last week they won because they played a team that went on the field with no quarterback. So Green Bay -4 for me here as well.
We need a spinoff podcast on just all the quarterbacks that Jimmy hates. We should just
Trubisky and then Josh Allen right
power
now.
Rank the quarterbacks and then give an hour of material on just 25 through 35.
Those are the two.
I just want to say real quick before we get to the last two games here. Jimmy, I am absolutely with you on Red Zone Channel. I hate the Red Zone Channel.
Thank you. And I will, since you mentioned that, then I'll do a cheap plug right here. Andrew Siciliano from Red Zone was on the SI Media podcast this week, so please check that out. If you're listening to this podcast when you're finished, go listen to that one.
You had Andrew, and you had Bomani Jones this week?
That was last week. Last week was Bomani.
Right.
This week was... Just on a side note, Andrew Siciliano, I went on Twitter and bashed Red Zone, and he replied in a very nice, classy manner, and then I said, well, why don't you come on and discuss it? And he was up for it, and he was a phenomenal guest. So I've... immense amount of respect.
But you're now famously anti-DirecTV. So the Red Zone you were watching and complaining about was the Scott Hansen version.
Right. Well, yes, but I would imagine that isn't it the same thing? They just cut from game to game to game.
They both have their differences. But you went on Twitter to bash the Scott Hansen version, Siciliano came on to talk. I get it. He's defending the product.
It's all versions.
The concept.
It's all versions that I'm bashing. And are you guys Red Zone on Sundays?
I love Red Zone.
And Gary, you're not Red Zone. So you don't like
literally never Red Zone. I have the digital subscription, so game mix is technically not an option. I set up the 4, and then I have my 2.
I like to two screen it. I have Red Zone on one screen, and then I'm following a game that I'm interested in on another.
We'll get to it. We'll get to Patriots Ravens in a second. But since you started me, I mentioned this on my podcast, and this is they lost me a few weeks ago when they were showing me like 50 plays from Redskins Dolphins. I don't need one. I get it. They're catering to the fantasy player. And this is a gambling podcast, so they need a gambling Red Zone. For instance, because I best bet it. Like, last week, the Rams are up 17. They're giving 14. The Bengals score a touchdown on the last play of the game. They think it's over, and then they review it, and they overturn it, and the Rams end up covering. But Red Zone didn't show any of that because, they think the game. So you need a Red Zone for the gamblers. Then maybe you'll get me. The Red Zone that they have, the Scott Hansen one, and I'm sure it's the Siciliano, is really for fantasy players. I mean, they show you every touchdown. That's who they're catering to. And I don't play fantasy. I like to bet. So speaking of betting, let's get back on track. Sunday night, NBC, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Patriots, Ravens in Baltimore. Can the vaunted, dominating Patriot defense led by the genius known as Bill Belichick slow down Lamar Jackson? Bill Belichick has never allowed a 100-yard rushing game to an opposing quarterback. Mitch, Patriots -3.5, total 45. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with New England. The Patriots are better at defense than any other team in the league is at anything. And you've got to think that they're going to have a plan for Lamar Jackson, and that Bill Belichick probably dialed up a plan for Lamar Jackson over the summer and has just been waiting for this game to show it. Their defense is just unstoppable, and it's hard to pick against them until you see someone do it. They beat the Bills by 6. They've beaten every other team by at least 2 touchdowns. So even if you like the Ravens, it's just hard to pick anyone staying within a field goal of New England. But I'm really interested to see how this game goes. is, because I just have a hard time imagining who on Baltimore is going to get open to catch passes against the Patriots defense. So part of me thinks they're going to just key in, and it's like the famous cliche Belichick thing that he likes to shut down the other team's best thing, even though really that's like what every NFL coach is trying to do. Part of me thinks that they're just going to be focused on stopping Lamar from rushing. I could also see the game going the other way, where Belichick just like dares him to rush and they have literally nothing else. And we look up and at the end of the game, Lamar has like 160 yards rushing and the Ravens have like 13 or 17 points or something. So I don't know what I'm expecting, but I'm really excited to see it. I think the Ravens are just going to run the ball a lot, try and let the clock run and sort of shorten the game and have fewer possessions. They might need a turnover or a special teams play or something to stay in it. But I just think at this point, having watched enough Patriots games this year, I think you got to just keep picking them until you see somebody actually, you know, put an end to this.
Mitch, Gary, what do you got on the big Sunday night game?
Yeah, I have a very slight Ravens lean on this one. I think being overlooked a little bit with the Patriots, the fact that their offense is, it really is legitimately a bad offense right now. And I'm not hot taking this and saying Brady's done or whatever it might be. They don't have an identity. They lost their fullback, who is the key to their two-back rushing game. They obviously no Gronk, no more Josh Gordon, no more Antonio Brown. They don't have the weapons outside of Julian Edelman at this point. So I really don't know how many points they score, especially against a team against the Ravens. If the Ravens are going to run the ball a lot, they're probably not going to turn it over. You're probably not going to have the kind of defensive touchdowns that the Patriots defense has been putting up. And I'll just throw out one quick betting system. And again, I want to reiterate, I wouldn't bet this one. I have a slight lean toward the Ravens.
You have to bet it. It's a Sunday night game. Stand alone. You got it.
Not this one. I'll just enjoy this one.
Yeah,
this
I was going to say. If there's a Sunday night game where you can just sit back and enjoy without betting it, this would be it.
It's not like Steelers Chargers a couple weeks ago. But real quick betting system here. This is a road favorites point differential on the season of 10 plus points per game, and also coming off a win by double digits, being overrated a little bit by the public. Those teams are 18-50 against the spread over the last 10 seasons. I realize the Patriots are a bit of a different breed, but for all those reasons, I would slightly lean Baltimore here.
I just worked really hard to try and talk yourself into it. I don't know.
I'm with Mitch again on this. If you listen, you can see that I sort of try to do things very simply in terms of bet. Like, I just bet the Patriots every week, you know, let the cards fall where they may. Belichick always has a matchup where he's on top as a coach. Brady always has a matchup where he's on top as a quarterback. Lamar Jackson is this weapon that people are normally afraid of, whereas I look at it like Belichick will stop it and you're only laying 3.5. Would I ever be shocked if the Ravens won here? No, but if just from a economical standpoint, I will always bet the Patriots, especially only 3.5, even with the subpar offense that Gary mentioned. Monday night, Cowboys visiting the Giants, Dallas -7, total 48. Gary, what do you got?
These games, these Giants-Cowboys games tend to be close. I don't know. I don't have a great read on it, I guess. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that Giants, really, what their offense and their defense is. Their defense looks occasionally kind of okay, and then sometimes you just can't tackle anyone. I do like the under here. I'll take the under 48. I don't think this is a game that features many turnovers, anything like that. And I think it's two teams that generally are going to want to keep the ball on the ground here. Not a great read on the sides. I guess I'll lean Dallas slightly, just because of the old Giants' complete lack of a home field advantage factor. But I do like the under.
Mitch.
Yeah, this is a close one for me too, and maybe a stay away. I also I lean Dallas though. The Cowboys just had their bye week, so they were last seen just thrashing the Eagles, and you know they went through a slump and then totally busted out of it. You wonder if maybe they would have been better off having another game right there where they had all that momentum, or you know if the bye week kind of kills some of that. But I think you know they were really banged up before that Eagles game, and then they got all those guys back, and most of their questionable players actually played that night. Maybe all of them did. So you know in that case, you know if you're a banged banged up, hurt team. The bye week's going to be good for you. So, they're the better team. This is another one where sort of like that Seahawks-Bucks game where I think it's a no-brainer to me that they're going to win this game. The question is, are they going to cover? They beat the Giants 35-17 all the way back in week one, but that was a game with Eli starting. So I think I'm just going to have to go ahead and take Dallas here. But, this game wouldn't surprise me going either way as far as the spread's concerned. So, Dallas, again, like Jimmy said, keep it simple. Dallas is a better team. I'm just going to pick them here.
Yeah, just stay away from me. I don't trust the Giants. I don't trust the Cowboys at this point. Gary had mentioned these teams usually play close games. It's a high line for a road team. So this will be sort of, I think at last week with the Dolphins Steeler Monday night game, I said it, it's a prop bet special. That'll be a prop bet. This will be a prop bet special for me as well. I don't like side or total here. In this one, I did bet over 4.5 sacks in that Dolphins Steelers game to keep my interest, and there were 6 sacks in it, so it was a beautiful Monday night game as far as I was concerned. That bet happened where it matters most, with the real wallet, not just this podcast. So, but we do try to provide you with good information on this podcast.
Are we not betting all these games?
As we said at the top, we were a collective 10-3 last week, so let's see how we do this week in week 9. We will now give you our best bets, and let's start it off with Mitch. What do you got?
Sure. Well, I don't think we're going to win 10 games because it sounds like we don't have as many picks this week. Yep. I'm only picking 3 games. And so this shouldn't surprise you. It's the 3 I think I was most excited about talking about them. But I'm going to take that that Washington plus 10 at Buffalo. I'm going to do that Indy pick'em at Pittsburgh, which is, I feel like we're all going to pick it and we're going to just be wrong because that's how it works, because there must be something we're missing. But I'll take Indy, and then I'm going to do that Green Bay minus 4 with a home game in Los Angeles.
Gary, best bets for week 9.
So I'll do 4-3 sides here. I'll also pick the Colts pick'em game at Pittsburgh. I'll go Detroit. I know we're going to be head-to-head on this, Jimmy. I'll go Detroit plus 2 at Oakland. And I'll go ahead and do Tampa plus 6 at Seattle. I was kind of on the fence on that one, but why not? If you guys aren't doing many this week, I'll do a third one. I'm also going to take the under 48 in the Monday night football game, Cowboys-Giants.
I've only got 3 for you as well. 3 favorites, all slight favorites. Love Houston minus 1.5 in that London game early Sunday morning with your coffee and bagels. Deshaun Watson, best player on the field. Line's only 1.5, so I love the Texans there against the Jaguars. Like Gary said, love the Raiders' first home game since week 2. Only laying 2 points at home against the Lions. And third game with Mitch here, the Packers. Back-to-back road games, always tough, but like we said, not really a road game against the Chargers, who are one of the more bizarre teams in the league. So you'll lay the 4 there with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And those are my 3 picks.
Jimmy, can I give you a little personal news here?
Sure.
Because you mentioned with your bagel and coffee, the London game. I'm traveling. I'm going to be out in Phoenix this weekend for the games. So it's going to be my first experience with the London game starting at like 7 o'clock in the morning. So I'm very excited. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
But there's no game there this week in Phoenix, right?
I'm not traveling for the game. Okay. I'm for a friend's wedding, actually.
Gotcha.
But I will be there for a true 6:30. 7:30 because it's daylight savings weekend and Arizona's weird. We don't have to talk about all this right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, very very early football start.
Gary dumped all over it before. I don't mind 9:30. I don't mind Listen, it's better than sitting around watching the pregame show. I mean, give me a little action. The games are usually terrible, but this is the way you make them interesting is you bet them. That's what we're here for.
Hate him. Yeah. I hated him even before I coached my daughter's soccer team on Sunday morning.
Right, right.
So it wreaks even more havoc for me. I got to go home and like rush through the game in like an hour on DVR afterwards.
Here's what I also like about it. It also X's out another game for the 1 o'clock session.
I want
as few games
a good
at
point.
One as possible. Yeah. And then you get a nice, there's 3 at 4 o'clock this week. You get a nice little... with the bye weeks, then 1 o'clock becomes manageable. All right, enough about my psychotic ways of needing perfect scheduling on Sunday afternoons to watch the games. That wraps up our MMQB Gambling Podcast for week 9. We wish you all the best with the wagers and enjoy the action. And We will see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.